Probably the happiest moment of my life, and as I looked up at the clock, and I knew I had it because this is the last time I'll ever run a meet, and I like going out as a winner.
And now it's time to join Chris and Rob in the wacky world of telephone harassment for celebrity answering machines, where Chris and Rob call one of your favorite celebrities, and if no one is home, they leave a message on today's celebrity answering machine. So sit back, relax, kick up your feet, and pop open a cold one as we join Chris and Rob for Celebrity Answering Machine.
Now we're going to try to call Olympic gold medalist Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner.
Remember him?
1976 Olympics in Montreal, I believe.
That's right. He kicked a little butt and ran real fast.
He sure did. Set a record for like most points by the decathlon.
I think he jumped a lot too, didn't he? Didn't he have to just
jump? He jumped, he ran, he threw.
Hello?
Hi, is Bruce in, please?
Who's this?
This is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Who's this?
Chris and Rob. We're calling from Cincinnati.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay, he's on another line.
Is he? Should we call back in a few minutes?
Well, I'm not sure the lines will work. We're just in the middle of a move, and they just hooked up the phone 5 minutes ago, so
oh,
I don't
really?
Know where it's ringing.
Yeah,
I just ran to a phone and picked it up.
And it worked. That's great.
Is this Mrs. Jenner?
Yes.
Hey, you know, I heard that when you guys went to Montreal for the Olympics and everything,
right.
that you made some French toast for breakfast, and then the French people showed up, and they had never even heard of French toast, and we don't even know, or maybe you know by now, how did the French toast get the name French toast if French people don't even cook it?
Well, I wasn't in Montreal.
Didn't you go with them?
Nope.
Uh-oh. Maybe that was somebody.
That was somebody that was about 26 years ago.
Ah, okay.
On to the new.
Well,
how's the exercise?
It was delicious.
So how are the exercise equipment moving for you?
It's great.
Really? What's the name of it?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of them. There's 6 different pieces of equipment.
Wow, and they all work?
Are we on the air?
No, we're being taped.
Oh, okay. We're just actually moving into a new house.
And the first thing you moved in was your exercise
Power
equipment,
Plus.
Your Power
That's
Walker
exactly
Plus.
Right. We have it everywhere.
But I've seen you, and you're beautiful, and you have a perfect figure. Why in the world do you need that exercise equipment?
Well, I just had a new baby.
Oh, did you?
My 5th child.
What
Congratulations.
Kind?
A girl.
Oh.
We have four girls now and a boy.
Did you name it Christina or Robert?
No, I named it Kendall.
Kendall?
Aww. Kendall.
The guy who's on before us is named Kendall. He plays drums in a punk rock band.
No, she's much cuter than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not much to be cuter than this Kendall.
Yeah. No, she's pretty cute.
Oh, really?
She's pretty cute.
Does she talk yet?
Nope. She's 9 months old.
Aw.
And she's crawling. So we have a good time. We have a lot of kids.
So you've had 5 babies with that terrific figure you have?
Well, yeah.
Do you think any of those babies will ever be in the Olympic decathlon?
I don't know. They're working on it. My son throws the javelin all over the street.
Really?
I hope it's one of those safety javelins.
Yeah, make sure he doesn't try to catch one.
He does have. You know, we met somebody in Atlanta at the Olympics who gave him a couple of those safety javelins.
They really make safety javelins?
They
I just
do.
Made that up.
They do. No, they're safety javelins.
Oh, wow.
Is that hilarious?
Like a big giant suction cup on the end instead of a pointy stick?
Yeah, actually, Bruce speared someone once.
What? Let's hear about this. On purpose?
Shish kebab the guy.
What, was somebody flirting with you or something?
No.
Because you have a terrific figure.
Well, thank you very much. We're trying to get it back in shape after that baby. Babies do funny things to a woman's body, but it's really worth it. So anyway, we're just moving into this new house, and I don't know where my husband is.
Okay, well, good luck with the move, and hope
you we'll be around tomorrow if you want to call back.
We'll give it a shot. Good luck with that French toast
thing. Yeah, we'll
be
here tomorrow.
Okay,
bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. That was a different Mrs. Jenner that made the French toast.
How many Mrs. Jenners have there been? I mean,
I don't know.
Like,
I thought everybody knew that, though. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Is this guy Henry VIII? Did he have the last Mrs. Jenner beheaded?
He's had 2 wives, which is not that many for a stud like him.
Okay. All right.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Celebrity Answering Machines. And make sure you tune in next time when Chris and Rob call another one of your favorite celebrities right here on the Chris and Rob Celebrity Answering Machine.
You only get the best from the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We only go to the very top, and I don't think there's an Olympic hero in this country, besides Nancy Kerrigan, of the stature of Bruce Jenner. We get to the bottom of it. My name is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is
749-1444.
Speaking of Olympic fever, you know, a couple of years ago you might have heard about the Jamaican bobsledding team. Ah, wacky stuff, isn't it?
I don't get enough.
Yeah. Kenya has a downhill skiing team now. Right. Cross-country ski team, pardon me. The Kenyan cross-country ski team is hoping to win the gold. You think they'll get it?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't care, do you?
No, I don't.
You don't care about much, do you?
No, I don't care about anything.
You're a worthless talk show host. It's 12 o'clock midnight. It's time for the Chris and Rob late night talk show. And we'd like to begin tonight by paying a little...
You going to play a record now, Kenya?
Kenya? We're going to start off tonight by paying a little tribute to the late Carl Wilson.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, the life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Cincinnati, Ohio, Northern Kentucky, and the eastern part of Indiana. My name is Chris.
I'm Rob.
Together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, live, coming at you live, 749-1444. This couldn't be live, this is not taped, nor tape delayed, we're here live, 749-1444. We're going to start off tonight's program talking to the Reverend James Watkins. Now, if you'd like to get in on this, I'm going to give you the secret celebrity hotline right now, 961-8900. If you'd like to confront Reverend Watkins on any of the things we're about to talk about, 961-8900. Good evening, Reverend Watkins.
Well, good evening to you.
How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
We're talking to you from Kirtland, Ohio, where you serve as the pastor of Old South Christ United Church of Christ, or something
to that
effect.
Old South Church, yes. Old South Church, UCC. I'm the pastor, been there since November of 93.
What is it that a pastor does? Do you just work one day a week, like a lot of people think?
I wish. I didn't have a day off until about 6 weeks ago, that we finally said, okay, we're going to set Tuesday as my regular day off.
You got a hard boss, is that what you're saying?
Well, a community of people can be all-consuming if you're not careful.
Your all-consuming boss can be all-consuming, too, if you think about it.
Yeah, that is true.
We're having you on the show tonight because a couple weeks ago you were in town speaking to the Jewish community something.
Yeah, the Jewish Community Relations Council. We were talking about the dangers of the religious right.
Well, now, slow down. What in the world is the pastor of Old South Church, United Church of Christ, doing talking to a Jewish organization?
Well, I mean, they invited me. That's why there's a good bit of relations that go on between Jewish people and Christian people. I mean, I have speaking engagements to people of all faiths, and I spoke to a local humanist association here in Cleveland recently.
Well, humanist is almost synonymous with atheist anymore,
well,
isn't it?
Well, that's true, yeah. Most of them were non-theist. But, you know, a Christian believes in loving his neighbor, and Jesus said to love your neighbor, but he didn't say they had to agree with you theologically.
Right. Now, you just mentioned that you have some problems with what we are calling the religious right. What is the religious right?
Well, the religious right, of course, is this sort of envelope of combination of evangelicalism and politics all mixed together into an interesting stew that's happened in the last 15 years, and it continues to build power, that sort of thing.
If there's a religious right, could it not be assumed that there's also maybe a religious left, or even a middle ground, a gray area, that a Christian could call themselves?
Well, actually, most of America is sort of in a religious middle, and the right and the extreme left seem to be shooting at each other all the time. I'm often wondering on these crossfire programs why they don't have somebody in the middle to present where most Americans really are.
And Reverend Watkins, where do you stand on this whole religious left, religious right thing?
Well, I mean, I'm generally considered a moderate. My only difference for myself, between myself and most moderates, is that I tend to be a rather loud one. You know, it's hard to be a loud moderate, you know.
Well, Reverend Watkins, you said the religious right has a strange stew of politics and theology. You had Bill McCartney when he quit coaching football at Colorado and started Promise Keepers. He said that he does not have a political agenda. He's always maintained that he doesn't have a political agenda. He merely has a spiritual and family agenda, and that he doesn't have a political agenda.
Well, I've been in the pastorate now for 30 years, and I have seen in the past religious groupings start that way and in short order virtually turn into ward and precinct organizations. So what you have to really look at is who's behind them, where the money's coming from, how they're organizing, how they're organized. It is true, Promise Keepers, I was happy to see a couple hundred thousand men swearing to be good husbands and fathers. I mean, that's a good thing. If, however, they, at some point down the line, get up in front of these men and say, well, you know, the country is going to heck in a hat basket, and the only thing we can do is plow into politics, it'll be clear where they've been going from the beginning.
Reverend Watkins, shouldn't a good God-fearing Christian, somebody who leads a moral and ethical lifestyle, not only want to minister to other Christians and other lay people and other regular everyday folk, but wouldn't they also have an interest in the political climate of a nation?
Well, of course they would, but what they would not do is claim that your theology is automatically handed down from God. You see, that's not fair. If you take your faith and you wrap it around your politics and then say you can't criticize the politics because you're attacking the faith, then that's the wrong way to mix it.
You mean when Pat Robertson tells you that God believes in the trickle-down theory of economics, you shouldn't necessarily believe him?
I can't find that in the New Testament. Never could. A good bit of the stuff that you see in religious right literature, I've got a paper here that says Faith Under Attack. I look at the article under it, and only one of 11 things could possibly be one of the issues of the Christian faith. Everything else is defense spending and medical care and you name it. So my point is that what's happened is that a lot of ultra-right politics has been, in effect, given a thin veneer of religious language, and then you try to sell it as a religious position when it really isn't.
So when Ralph Reed, I know he's no longer with the Christian Coalition.
Well, he's actually on the three-man executive board, but He's resigned as executive director, but he's still with he's still got his hand in the Christian Coalition.
So when these guys from the Christian Coalition go on the talk shows and hang out with the talking heads on Sunday morning, how many people are they really representing? Are they representing a few people with a lot of money, or are they really representing a huge number of Christians in America?
Well, in one way of thinking, they represent a huge number, but we have to understand that in the political process, in any given community, only a very small number of people are actually involved in local political leadership. For instance, in a small county here in Ohio, there's about 50 political leaders in Lake County. If you all of a sudden have another 50 people, all who are ultra-fundamental religious right types, mm-hmm. get involved, all of a sudden you've skewed off what's going on considerably. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I've always said that you give me 20 people, for instance, who want to work 13 weeks, and I'll put anybody in the state legislature. You know, that's the way politics works. So what's happened with the rise of the religious right is that a very small number of people in certain locales have worked like demons, so to speak, to press their point of view. Christian Coalition has about 6,000 people across the country you can count on to do this kind of work locally. Now, is that a huge number or not a huge number? Depends on what you mean.
Because a few people can wield a lot of power, especially at the local level.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. You see, when you think about how many people actually vote for a school board election, it's down a minuscule number of the registered voters actually turn out. If you do it right, you can run enough fundamentalist church bands around to bring enough people to the polls who would never have come in the first place to take a school board seat. And that's happened. And one group claims they've done that to 11,000 school board seats across the country. I think it's more like 13.
Well, Reverend Watkins, what are some of the issues that the Christian Coalition represents under the guise of Christianity that you feel are merely political issues?
Well, for instance, well, let's give a good example here. You remember Jimmy Carter?
I've heard of him.
Okay, Jimmy Carter, if you talk about his theology, is a fairly fundamental Baptist. Talks about being born again, is a very straightforward...
Handle snakes?
What now?
Did he handle snakes?
No.
He's got lust in his heart.
Yeah, but you see, that's from a very evangelical, fundamental kind of notion of...
If you commit a sin in your heart, it's like you've committed the sin.
Yeah, purity of thought. But my point is, Jimmy Carter, in theologically, thinks a good bit like a lot of the religious right, but the minute he becomes president and they realize that he's a political centrist, they cut him off. They were opposed to him. They opposed him, you see. So the point is, this is a political movement, not a religious one.
Whereas Ronald Reagan, who was divorced, brought alcohol back to the White House after Jimmy Carter kicked alcohol out of the White House.
Wife was involved with psychics, everything else in the world. Yeah, but he's politically right, you see.
So they supported Ronald Reagan not for his Christian beliefs, but for his political beliefs. Again, God is a trickle-down theorist.
Yeah, you see, so this is real. The religious right is really a ultra-right political movement in religious dress, so to speak, sort of in drag, but we won't go into that.
Reverend Watkins, you're probably aware that Dr. James Dobson, who's the head of Focus on the Family, mm-hmm. which is a ministry, you can catch it locally on the radio around noontime on the AM dial. He's declared war, not only against secular humanism, but also against America. Can you comment on that?
Well,
can you declare war against America when you are an American?
If you believe that America is fatally flawed, if you believe that the institutions are fatally flawed, then you are, in effect, in declaring war on those fatally flawed institutions, you are helping to redeem America. And that's where James Dobson's coming from. You see,
well, he doesn't want to get in a war with America, then he wants to save America.
Well, but the way, you know, you go to war against all the evil, you know, represented by, of course, Disney and mainstream churches and people who do not think like he does. But it's a funny thing about Dobson. When I started my ministry 30 years ago, I used a few of his tapes in some counseling with young people and with parents and that sort of thing. And back then, it was a pretty straightforward kind of reasonable help. But gradually, over the last, say, 25 years, it's become so heavily saturated with politics that now if you listen to his broadcast, it's as much or much more, if you look at his publications, political than it is any real help for families. You know, and so that's what's happened. There's been this evolution over the last, let's say, 20 years, and a lot of these ministries that they've moved from what was, in some ways, fairly good, helpful things being said to this political direction where, you know, it's almost as, it seems to be more important that we somehow get teachers to teach children how to pray than that we pray with our kids ourselves, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what I think it is a frustration on their part that they really haven't converted America to their point of view religiously and in a lot of other ways. And so now it's time to enter the political realm and try to get a political hegemony there, you know, with their points of view. In any event, the reality is that the religious right does not respect diversity. It does not respect the notion that you see in historically in America, where we say each according to the dictates of his own conscience with regard to religious matters. And that's how I can be asked to speak at a Jewish group, is because even though I am not Jewish, I am Christian, I respect a Jewish person's right to his religion and still be a good American.
Well, sometimes I think that a lot of the organized Christian type organizations don't have respect for other people, other people's beliefs or ways of life.
Well, you know, Christians are not perfect, you know, that's true, and there are indeed some Christians who don't seem to have much respect for other folks.
I think it's kind of funny that a lot of times a Christian organization calling themselves Christian and putting the cross on their logo head will do things hateful, declare war on America and bomb abortion clinics and on and on.
Well, you know, if you look in Israel, if you look in Iran, I mean, it's not just Christian. I mean, there are people with any thought pattern or pattern of philosophy that can go so far with it. You know, somebody said that a fanatic is a person who redoubles his effort every time he forgets his original purpose. And, you know, you find that on some of the extremes in extreme right in Christianity and extreme left, too. I mean, in the history of Christianity, there have been some leftists that have done some pretty bad things, too. But with regard to, you know, they just had a thing up in Alexandria, Virginia, which was called the White Rose Banquet, which was about 300 people who got together who have a banquet every year to sort of glorify clinic bombings.
Oh, man.
Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
And you know, they had Free Paul Hill bumper stickers.
Now, Reverend Watkins, there are those who are going to listen to tonight's program, and they're going to say that he's standing up for the sinner, and he's defending the sin, and he's saying that all these bad things in the world are okay, and that you're condoning that people can go ahead and lead sinful lives and eventually descend into the pits of hell. Those people are welcome to call us at 961-8900. But what would you say to those people?
Well, first of all, as Christian minister, there's a great number of things in this world that I'm not in favor of, obviously, the fact of the matter is, though we do live in a free country where there will always be things in a free country that will offend a sensitive Christian conscience. That's the price of liberty.
There's things that'll offend an atheist too.
Yeah, it's true. There, but you know, I've never seen an atheist try to close down a theme park for having a Christian day. You know? Have you?
No, but they certainly the Christian right wing faction certainly wants Disney to go out of business, and this includes Reverend Dobson.
You know, though, I'm writing an article now, and I have my own website, as a matter of fact.
What is it?
I don't know if you knew that. Well, it's called Mainstream Opinion, and it's you could look it up on a word search as Mainstream Opinion, or it's www.mainstream with two extra letters at the end, mainstreamop.org. So it's mainstreamop.org, and I've got a lot of my stuff on there, but I'm writing an article now, and it said, thank God for the Disney boycott, because it will show us exactly how powerful these people really are with their own people in something as practical as whether you can or can't tell people to go to see Walt Disney. So far, all of the information I have shows that there's not one bit of downfall from this boycott at any of the Disney theme parks, Orlando, or whatever.
No, Disney's way too huge to let something like that affect them.
Well,
it'd be like trying to boycott Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, what is odd to me is that the same people who want us to let them inform our public policy in so many ways, when they come around to try to protect the American family, they come up with something screwball like boycotting Mickey Mouse. You know, I mean, it shows you just how offbeat a lot of their leadership's thinking really is.
Reverend Watkins, while we're trading website addresses here, jot this down. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show has our very own website at this point.
Do you?
Yeah, you can locate it at www.cincinnatlas.com. That's like the word Cincinnati Atlas. You stick them together.
Uh-huh.
You get CINCINNATLAS. Put a .com after that, and lots of great goodies on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show webpage.
Interesting.
You won't want to miss them.
Well, now, you've got a great set of pipes. How long have you been in radio?
Oh, since the late 50s. We used to do, radio drama. Rob got a start. He was the fill-in for the Lone Ranger. When the Lone Ranger would get sick, Rob would come in and say, "Hi-ho, Silver."
Well, you know, I tried to do a talk show in Memphis one time. It was going to be a new concept in religious broadcasting. We called it Send No Money. That was the name of the show.
I like that.
It just couldn't get it to fly. I don't know. They said we were offending people.
Well, Reverend Watkins, Reverend Dobson, and a bunch of the other people you've mentioned, part of the Christian Coalition, they want to change the way America works. And if you look at the most basic fundamental document of America, the Constitution, it doesn't say that judges are to pray when they make a decision, that juries are to pray when they make a decision, that the people are to pray before. It's a pretty secular document. Are they? Do you think they want to? Do they want to try to create a few more amendments and put God into the Constitution more?
Well, actually, it is a totally secular document, even with a provision saying that there will be no religious test for public office holders in America. That's in the original of the U.S. Constitution. It's right there.
There's a lot of voters, and there's a test as far as in the voters' mind about who they vote for.
Well, there may be, but people vote for people for a lot of reasons. You know, they like the way they look or their hairstyle or whatever. But
well, my point being that there hasn't been a Catholic president since Kennedy.
Well, that's true, and that's interesting. That whole episode with Kennedy, where the people who finally melded into the religious right at that time were talking about separation of church and state because they were truly afraid of a possibility of a Catholic president, which of course was total bigotry. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. But the business about the amendment, yes, there's a religious freedom amendment that's in committee right now in Congress that would add like 83 words to the U.S. Constitution in an attempt to rewrite the First Amendment to ensure there would be no religious persecution in America. Of course, the reality is there is no religious persecution in America now, and the amendment is trying to fix something that isn't broken and is going to do nothing but screw up the Constitution if they were to actually pass it, which they probably won't. But that just shows you how far some of these things have actually gone.
We're talking to the Reverend James Watkins of the Old South Church, United Church of Christ, Kirtland, Ohio, and we're discussing the religious right and its effects on freedom. And at this point, I guess the bottom line is that you feel that the religious right does affect the freedom of all Americans, whether Christian, atheist, or some other persuasion. What can a Christian or an atheist do, and how legitimate is this threat?
Well, I'll tell you what. Get on a five-man school board, get three of them, and find out what the threat is. The threat is, all of a sudden, you've got your curriculum being altered because it needs to have a variety of things in there the religious right would like to have, like creationism.
Yeah, where do you stand on that one? That one's kind of funny.
What, creationism?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, science class should be teaching the current state of science, not religious mythology.
But we all know that, God's book begins at the beginning of Genesis, and he told us how the earth began and how the universe was started.
Well, actually, there are two creation stories there, if you care to look carefully. And my question is always, which one are you talking about? You see, if you're a careful biblical scholar, mainstream scholarship for 100 years has been teaching preachers that there are two creation stories, not one. And so the question is, which one is the real one, if you're going to take it all literally? But most of us, of course, haven't, you know, don't look at a literal Adam and Eve. I mean, that's just not something that, but even if we did, science class is about science. It isn't about teaching my religion. There are things that I believe religiously. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, for instance. I mean, that's, I'm a Christian. That's what a Christian believes along that line, it seems to me. But that would be an inappropriate thing for me to try to have taught as fact in a public school, because that's my religious point of view. So, you know, if I want to teach my religious point of view, I'll do it in my church, I'll do it in my community, I'll do it in my family, but I won't try and impose it on other people in the school setting, whether it's creationism or whatever it is. Now, I don't happen to be a creationist, but even if I were, I think my point of view would be consistent. Yeah, I don't want my other religious points of view taught there.
What would you have to say to a Christian who was part of the religious right, who bought into everything that Ralph Reed, Pat Robertson, and Dr. Dobson had to say?
Well, just remember, 100 years ago, or a little more than 100 years ago, where I came from, there were Christians standing up saying that God ordained slavery. And because it certainly looked like the culture pattern they were in the midst of, and it certainly looked right to them. And now, looking back, we're kind of embarrassed about all of that. I would say that the religious right is a caricature of true Christian faith, and that a Christian who is honest in his Christianity needs to stand and look at that very carefully and see if perhaps his culture, or where he might be failing him, and he may need to look at it in a little more humane and a little more loving kind of way. For instance, all the paranoia in the religious right, I mean, what in the world is the New World Order? You know? I mean, they're supposedly fighting this New World Order that seems to me to be a figment of their imagination.
Wasn't that just a little rhetoric that George Bush came up with to make it sound like he was responsible for the end of the Cold War?
I wish. Pat Robertson has a book called The New World Order, where he outlines all of these demonic forces around the world that are sort of coming together to persecute the true Christians, you know. And the New World Order is for the religious right what the communist conspiracy used to be. You know, I mean, the reality is, you can't really get up a good fear of the Eastern Bloc anymore. They're just, you know, too weak. Remember when everybody used to be a communist? Wasn't long ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you remember when Martin Luther King was a communist? Remember that?
I believe that it was reported before his death that he was a communist in order to discredit him.
What I'm trying to say is that in this particular substrate of American culture, the progressive forces are seen as somehow alien and hostile. You know what I'm saying. And, you know, Martin Luther King. It's interesting to me that the exact same people who today will agree that the civil rights movement is a good thing to have happened 30 years ago would have nothing to do with it and claim that it was evil and communist and all of that.
Well, you can say that about the right wing in general. They've been on the wrong side of almost every issue to come down the pipe in the last 150 years, whether it was slavery. They blew that one. The conservatives wanted to keep slavery.
Well, in my lifetime, which is the only thing I have personal experience with, they seem to be, you know, about 30 years behind the larger social conscience of the nation. And so when I hear people today talking about gays and lesbians, talking about recent immigrants and what needs to be done with recent immigrants and all of that, I wonder if 30 years from now they're going to be apologizing for all of that. You think?
We'll have to wait and see, but you may be right.
Well, now, I'm sure there's some folks who disagree with my point of view. I am a former Southern Baptist minister myself. I was, of my 30 years, I was a Southern Baptist pastor for 20 of them. So I grew up in this culture. I grew up, you know, in and around all of this. That's one reason I understand it, I think, so well.
And then all of a sudden, about 10 years ago, you were born again.
Well, there was a... It wasn't like Paul getting knocked off the horse on his way to Damascus. It was more like a gradual realization that I needed to move denominations, actually. And I needed to find a place where I was simply more able to be myself and say what I thought about things.
Well, the next time we're in Kirtland, Ohio, we'll bring plenty of change for the collection plate at the Old South Church United Church of Christ, where you are the residing pastor,
that
Reverend James Watkins.
Well, listen, I want to tell you one other thing. I'm also supposed to be on radio Thursday in Cincinnati at 10 a.m. on February the 12th on 91.7. Can I mention that?
You sure can. We like them.
FM 91.7, our program, public radio, Thursday, February 12th, 10 a.m.
Hey, you stick around.
They're Catholic. Ask them why the Catholics can, like, drink and stuff at their, and have bingo.
Actually, we've already taped an hour program.
Did you?
Well, if you're down there, you stick around until about 12:30 because the cooking show comes on then, and you might get a little lunch.
Well, that'd be good.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Reverend James Watkins, Kirtland, Ohio, of the Old South Church, United Church of Christ.
Have a good day.
You have church in your name too many times.
I do.
You just need church
once. Old South Church is the Church of Christ.
There you go.
But you only need church
once. Well, do you say you go to St. Peter's Church, the Catholic Church?
No, I just say I'm going to church.
Well, that's all he says. I'm going to go to church.
All right. See you at church, Reverend.
All righty.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show reminding you to join the Reverend Columbus Perkins and his co-host Mother Jefferson every Wednesday morning. That's in a little while. From 5 to 8 a.m., you can start your day out with the Moving Up Gospel program right here on 88.3. Enjoy the sounds of spirituals, soul, contemporary, traditional, and Southern gospel, and a little preaching to boot. Every Wednesday morning, move up to the Word of the Lord right here on 88.3 with the Reverend Columbus Perkins. So you stay tuned. Right after us, the Jazz Show will be on, and right after them, Reverend Columbus Perkins is going to be burning the walls down. You wait and see. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and the phone number is 749-1444. Lines are now open, and your calls are welcome.
The things that you can't live without, laughing him behind his back.
Dylan there. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. My name is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Phone number is 749-1444. We just got done talking to the Reverend James Watkins of Kirtland, Ohio. And even though he's a reverend and a Christian and all that good stuff, he thinks that the religious right is out to lunch. And he mentioned a bumper sticker he saw. You see these people, these Christians, that have a bumper sticker that says Free Paul Hill. Well, who's Paul Hill? Rob and I were discussing that a minute ago.
I think Paul Hill's the guy who shot the doctor in Florida and killed the doctor in Florida.
He was an abortion doctor.
He killed the, I don't think that's enough to make a living. You have to have another practice going.
So Paul Hill is a Christian scumbag who goes around exacting justice when, in fact, justice is the domain of the Lord.
I think he killed the doctor, and at the same time, he shot and seriously wounded the old retired army officer who was serving as the security guard that day.
What? That's insane.
And so he's in the slammer. I think that's Paul Hill. I know somebody did that. I'm guessing it's Paul Hill. If you know who Paul Hill is, 749-1444. But you know, religion and politics have long been intermixed, and this is nothing new, and it's not necessarily a bad thing.
This goes all the way back to the Crusades.
And do you think a lot of people who would not have accepted Martin Luther King if he wouldn't have been a reverend accepted him because he was a reverend? Probably. Probably there were a few people who said, well, this guy's a reverend, I'll listen to what he says. Whereas, you know, if he'd have just been just a guy talking,
well, wait a minute.
They wouldn't have paid attention as closely.
You got me thinking here a minute. You and I were struggling talk show hosts, right? We're trying to be as big as Howard Stern or Rush Limbaugh.
I'm not struggling at all. You obviously struggle on a weekly basis. I do not struggle. I'm shilky.
Maybe then
you struggle.
Maybe I should go to seminary school and become the Reverend Chris Comer of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And then when people call in and say, hello, Reverend, that might just have a little more oomph when you call. A little more a little more ah.
It'd have a lot more ah than, hey, Gooch.
Yeah, so, you know, that maybe you and I should think about boning up on our Bible a little bit and going to seminary school. What do you think, Robbie?
We could do that. That might work.
749-1444, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, reminding you that the Free Store and Food Bank, which are the same thing, is seeking volunteers for a variety of opportunities. You can put this on your resume, folks, or you can just do it because it's the right thing to do. Orientation and training will be provided by the Free Store Food Bank. You can call 357-4656. That's 357-4656 for more details.
I quit going to my church all the time for two reasons. One, I really discovered the joys of sleeping very late on Sundays.
Oh, yeah, especially after partying Saturday night.
Well, that doesn't really matter.
But you know what the Catholics do to get around that is they have Saturday night mass. They even have a midnight mass at some churches on Saturday night.
And two, they started mixing a lot of politics in with the message.
At your church? What church did you go to?
None of your business. But anyway, they brought in a bunch of, it was at the time when Celeste was governor, and they didn't like Celeste. And they'd mention that occasionally, and they would also mention voting for candidates who opposed abortion. And I thought, you know, hey, I'm not a one-issue kind of voter. Don't encourage me to be a one-issue kind of voter. And they were also talking about, although I don't know if they ever did or not, picketing some of the stores in the Fairfield and Hamilton area that had the pornographic videos. And so, you know, that was the troika of insanity, which drove me away from the church. My church, not the church in general, but just my little church.
Well, do you mind telling me what denomination it was?
Wesleyan.
What's that mean?
Methodist.
Wesleyan is Methodist?
It's a former Methodist. John Wesley founded both the Methodist Church and the Wesleyan Church.
Who was John Wesley?
The guy who founded Methodism,
but
the strictest form of Christianity.
What did he do?
He was a preacher in the 1700s. He came over and went around preaching the gospel, and he didn't preach that Anglican crapola. He certainly didn't preach that papist nonsense, that fiddling with necklaces gibberish you follow. He taught strictly by the Bible religion, and that's what it is. No dancing, none of that stuff, no playing cards, none of that kind
of
stuff.
No wonder you dropped out of the church. You can't play bingo and you can't dance.
No, it's a strict church. Methodism.
You can't even play pinochle?
And you got to continually get saved. You can't get, like a Baptist gets baptized and gets saved once, they're good for life. It's like, you know, getting a coupon that'll cover, you know, get your tires rotated for the length of the life of the tires. It's not like that in Methodism. You can backslide, and you can backslide bad. And if you do backslide, you better get saved again and again and again and again. Or you will burn in hell for all eternity. God's not going to come back in a couple thousand years and simply destroy hell with the earth. No, you're going to roast for all eternity from now until forever. It's never going to end. Your torment will be everlasting. Your torment will never end. People in hell want ice water, and they'll never, ever, ever get it. Think of the biggest number you can think of and multiply it by infinity, and that's how long you're going to suffer.
That's mean. Who'd want to be a part of that church? That's crazy.
I mean, it's crazy. That's what the Bible reads. They don't, like, make up books. They don't make up any
the Bible doesn't say anything about you drinking ice water in hell.
I mean, that's a Lightning Hopkins song.
Oh, okay.
But it also doesn't say anything about Jesus going around healing little baby birds. Like your little apocryphy Bible does.
He did that?
He didn't do that. Well, maybe he did. I don't know if he healed a baby. I don't know if he healed a wounded bird or not. But, you know, you don't make it up books from the Bible.
This is the Chris and Rob late night.
Hardcore, straight edge. Not playing games.
I guess so. Your religion is better than mine. Fine.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's hardcore.
You are saying that. You are saying, you know, my religion is better than yours, so, you know, take a hike. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that. You're saying that.
That's what fundamentalists say everywhere you go, whether you're talking about Islamic fundamentalists or Hinduist fundamentalists.
I'm not saying one's better than the other.
Whether you're talking about, you know, tribal fundamentalists, or we're talking about Christian fundamentalists, they all say the same thing.
I'm just pointing out.
My religion is better than yours. You're wrong. You're going to burn in hell.
I'm
till infinity, and you can't have any ice water while you're there. They all say the same thing. You're no different than a Shiite Muslim.
I am not saying my religion's better than yours. I'm simply stating the differences. I'm simply pointing out the differences, okay? The priests in my church, the reverends, the ministers, the pastors, whatever you choose to call them, can get married and have kids. They don't get all backed up.
Well, did you know that Catholic priests could get married and have kids until about the year 1000? Which was half the life of the church, just about.
You know there was a female priest, or a female pope?
When?
I don't know. Look in the Book of Lest. There was like one. They didn't know it was a chick until after they died.
That happens. There was a jazz musician back in the 50s.
Yeah, it happens every once in a while.
Chris and Rob, a late night talk show, your radio pals. That's us. I'm Chris.
Man, everybody uses that radio pals, your radio friend crap. We got to get rid of that.
Well, what do you want to call ourselves?
I don't know.
Your radio atheist?
It's been stolen, you know. All the good bits have been taken from us, man. Now everybody's pretending to be the radio pal.
Just remember one thing, folks. When somebody claims to be your radio buddy, don't believe them, because Chris and Rob are your radio pals.
Yeah, we're the original radio pals. All these nonsensical false imitators.
749-1444 is the phone number to get in on this.
And if you present false witness against your neighbor, you will burn in hell for all eternity. You will not get to lick off a big, giant frosty ice cube. You will not get to slide down the log flume. You will simply be tormented and suffer for all eternity.
Will
Charlie,
you get off
what's
this
going
suffering
on?
Thing? Hello, Charlie.
Hello. I missed your show, the musical extravaganza. Where was that?
Oh, man, that was down at the Carnegie.
Yeah.
You know what else they shot at? You know what they made at the Carnegie that I just saw?
Huh.
A great movie called Live Nude Shakespeare. Oh. It's strippers reading a little bit of Shakespeare, and then they take off their clothes and they dance around. And I was watching it, and I said, you know, I recognize that holy cow, that's the Carnegie. And sure enough, at the end, it said, thanks to the Carnegie Art Center.
Where'd you see the movie at?
Hey, I don't know you that well to tell you. But I have sources,
like
okay?
That was a real good one.
Yeah, it's called Live Nude Shakespeare. It's those freaks that made the vampire titty flick a couple years ago.
I remember reading about that in the paper.
What's on your mind, Charlie? You called us.
Well, we can't say titty.
Yeah, I did call you. Yeah, what'd you call me for? You heard about the latest news, the snowboarder getting his medal revoked.
How
for
come?
What? Steroids?
No, actually, marijuana.
For being a guy?
Marijuana.
Somebody is smoking marijuana at the Olympics?
Well, these snowboarders just ended up at the Olympics. I didn't even think they knew what, you know.
Hey, man, you know, screw snowboarding.
That's not a sport.
It makes skiing difficult. I mean, I ski, and I could blow them away on skis. They're like wobbling on the snowboard.
These guys are going so slow. I was watching the snowboarders, and then I was comparing it to the skiers. They were going so slow.
Well, that's because they're smoking pot.
Whatever.
Yeah, maybe if they weren't high, they'd be going a little faster.
You know, any snowboarders want to pretend like there's some sort of crazed punk rock, hip hop, in your face, attitude kind of stuff, and it's all just Mountain Dew punk rock. They're a bunch of phonies and frauds because they're a bunch of little spoiled rich kids whose dad owned trucking companies that go skiing.
You ever see one of those?
What are you talking about? You're talking to them here. What do you mean?
Sometimes those hippie kids, those Grateful Dead punks, they'll get stoned and go drive their car, and they'll be driving on the freeway like 20 miles an hour. So that's probably what these snowboarders are doing. If they kind of got off the weed, they might be snowboarding up to speed.
We had all the hotshot women from the U.S. ran their big stupid mouths about how they were going to win all the gold medals for the good old USA, and they fell on their keisters, and they couldn't do it. So snowboarding, fair.
Well, I love the commentary for this Olympics. They really throw a lot of humor into it. They have some humorous commentators that... It just seems like they're really lighthearted and funny about it. But they said that this guy had made a comment that he knew the snowboarding was going to make it to the Olympics when the drug testers started showing up at practices and stuff. I mean, you know, they weren't sure whether it was going to be an event. I mean, and then these guys, I mean, I guess they don't test in their competition much, or maybe it's not as, you know. But this guy's from Canada, and they're appealing it. It was a vote of 3-2 to revoke it, and they have a chance at appeals. And who knows? It might be a big issue. Maybe they'll say, well, there's no way this pot's going to help his performance, so why penalize him for it?
Wow, Charlie, thanks for bringing that up.
Well, you know, something to talk about. I might have a real job here soon.
What's that, Charlie?
Was that a reference to the trucking business?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Charlie... Listen, Charlie, this is the Chris and Rob Sunshine Power Hour, and you're becoming like a total drag.
Am I really?
No, you're making us negative, though.
This argument on religion isn't bringing anybody down.
No, we gotta get back to the sunshine, so cheer us up. Tell us about your good news with your new job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were blowing me off.
No!
Oh, I don't know, man. I got a haircut yesterday. I had an interview today, and I might just about make more money than I've ever made.
Where's your job going to be?
It might be selling sunrooms.
What in the world's a sunroom? It sounds fabulous.
It's very expensive, and I'd make a lot of money if you bought one. You want one?
What is it?
It's, you know, like an addition to your home, like a glass encasement, like a sunroom.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, come on. You like if you had a patio, you could, like, build a sunroom around it.
You mean like a greenhouse or something?
Yeah, exactly. Like a mini greenhouse for your house. I'm sure you know someone who's got one.
Charlie... Why don't you send us a pamphlet or a brochure?
Oh, I'm sure I'll be full of it.
Chris, what is the mailing address for all sunroom brochures or Husker Du postcards?
That would be Post Office Box 6126, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45212. Again, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, P.O. Box 6126, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45212. Fan mail is accepted, and you can email us by accessing our website at www.cincinnatlas.com.
Is that zip code correct?
No, like, 45. Like no, that's Norwood. What am I thinking? 45206.
So I know I don't have much more for you here, but do you have any more public appearances? Because I've never really seen both of you, you know? Like, I'm sure you compliment each other.
Just down at the Shangri-La every Friday and Saturday night, boy. Don't miss it.
What's Chris that? Will be at the dock for thing night.
Thanks for your call, Charlie.
All right.
This is the Chris and Rob, a late night talk show.
Sunshine Power Hour. And you know, I'm happy that justice was served. I am thrilled to death that justice has been served. Because as far as I'm concerned, people of America in the greater Cincinnati metro area, if a police officer tells you, "Ho there, fine citizen of the great metropolis of Cincinnati, please cease and desist what you're doing at this moment now. Stop that."
The appellate, how is it? The
you
appellate.
Should do it.
The appellate court affirmed a Hamilton County Municipal Court finding a year ago that Sylvia Staten, the famous meter-feeding grandma, obstructed official business on October 24th, 1996 by putting coins into an expired parking meter to keep a police officer from issuing tickets. You know what? That stinks.
That's not why she got in trouble. The cop said, "Hey there, quit doing that." And she said,
"No, I'm not going to quit."
You shouldn't have to obey a cop when a cop's a bonehead. And by the way, his name is Ed Johnson. You can remember that, Ed Johnson, because Ed is something he didn't have enough of, and Johnson is another word for a penis. So if you ever get pulled over by Ed Johnson, he was the arresting officer in the famous meter-feeding grandma case. I'm sure you heard about it. Don't take any guff from Ed Johnson. He stinks.
Chris, try not to be so negative. Look on the bright side of this.
There's a bright side?
Yes. This ne'er-do-well, this scofflaw, this villainous, black-heartened woman, this Cruella de Vil of Clifton, Sylvia Staten, will know...
She's a nice lady. She's feeding people's parking meters so they won't get a $50 parking ticket.
Listen...
That's a nice thing to do.
The deal is, they have those meters there to help the business people. So, you know...
Come on, Mike. I'm not buying it. Your argument is washed.
Who's Mike?
You're sounding like Mike again.
I don't know who Mike is.
You know who Mike is. Quit sounding like Mike. You need to get a little bit
of the
Lord.
Is Mike part of the Sunshine Power Hour?
No.
Is he a sunshiny guy? Because
no,
if he's a
not.
Sunshiny guy, then I want to be
he's
like
a,
him.
He's a bitter old fruitcake.
If he's full of vitamin C and good vibes, I'm for this Mike character. But listen, you have a store. You have an Italian restaurant. Do you want people parking there and then coming back 2 hours later?
Stop it, Mike.
Feeding the meter and then going off to their friend's house above the carryout and
Cincinnati
just sitting there smoking
Cincinnati heard this for six
pot.
Months when this first happened from Mike. And they don't want to hear it anymore because we all know that the meter-feeding grandma, Sylvia Staten of Clifton, Ohio, is a nice person doing a good deed, trying to help out her fellow man just like the vineyard used to do.
I heard she's psycho.
You're psycho.
I heard she's nuts.
I don't know if she's psycho or nuts.
I heard
nuts.
She's crackers.
Maybe she is.
What do you mean just like the vineyard used to do? I know some vineyardians.
The vineyard is one of these churches somewhere
one
here
of
in town.
Those feel-good churches. It's up there in the Tri-County
and
area.
And until the meter-feeding grandma came along and spoiled the party for everyone, the vineyard used to walk around Clifton, put a quarter in your meter if it had been expired, and then put a little note on your the front hood of your car that says, "Hey, the vineyard saved you a $30 parking ticket, now come to church on Sunday." You know, and I don't mind that. I'd rather get a religious tract on my car than a $30 parking ticket. Wouldn't you?
That'd be great.
Especially if it's got those cute cartoons in there of the devil with the horns trying to send good Christians down.
You know, those little comic books that some of the right-wing nuts pass out?
Those are great.
If, I tell you what, I would be all in favor of religious right-wing nutty fruitcake wackos if they kept me in a good supply of those little comic books. Those are just the best.
Hey, listen, we need to
get... Are you trying to play the song desperately? It just better be worth it.
It's probably
not. It better be worth it. This better not even be one of your typical lame, campy, kind of little crap songs. Is this going to be good?
Let's find out.
Is this going to be good? Is this going to be sunshiny?
Jesus Savior, pilot me. Jesus Savior.